Tonight we're back into the life of Christ. You know, the more I think about it and I study on these, you know, and we teach on the life of Christ, but really more we're teaching more on the ministry of Jesus Christ than we do in the life of Christ, because basically we have written in the Gospels, it deals with his ministry, talks about his ministry. We do have about his birth. But you know, you realize how little scripture is in the New Testament dealing with, out of the Gospels, that deal with the time of his birth to the time of his ministry starts. I mean, you sit down and you read Mark, and Mark gives you one chapter dealing with the time Jesus, he deals with Jesus' baptism with John and him being anointed, and ministry starts. And so, but we have, so Matthew and Luke told us a little bit more. Matthew told us more and stuff. But we look at these things. John never talked about his birth. John spoke about him being in the beginning with God with John, the Gospel of John. And then he goes into the baptism with John the Baptist. And then he goes right into his ministry. He goes over and deals with his ministry and looks into it. So, but we're dealing tonight with his ministry. And it's one of the things that I want you to see is go over, because tonight as we're going to talk in this area, we last week did the parable of the sower, which is so hugely important. The parable of the sower is dealing about faith. It's about the word in your heart. That's what it's talking about. The word in your heart produces fruit. In other words, what's in you produces on the outside. And this is how God works. God produces on the outside, beginning the word on us in the inside, in our inner man, in our spirit. And we believe the word. We talk that word. We say that stuff. We believe it. That's what we live and walk. And it produces on the outside of us. And so we need to understand that we found that there's people who are in different ones. There's only one class of people that produced fruit. You know, all three classes got the word in them. The first group, they got the word in them, but the devil came immediately and stole it. The other ones, they lacked it when they first heard it, but you know, when there came problems, and there's one thing as I found out, yeah, I don't understand the people and the problem thing, because I had problems before I got saved. After you get saved, I realized that you run into some new problems once you get saved. There's some new things you run into, but nonetheless, you're just problems, and you run in, and I found out about, you know, as a fact, sure, if you start living this Christian life, surely you will face persecutions, then people will come along. But people come, they start off, and you know, they, wow, this is really neat. In a short period of time, they're not walking with it again. And you'll see that people, you know, they'll like what they hear. In a short time, they're gone back to where they were. Then they had the class of people who heard the word. They liked it. It was true. You know, they walk, but they never really produce. They never produce fruit. They always letting, it says, cares of this world. In other words, worries and different things enter in. Love of money, it talked about different things. In other words, stuff enters in to their life that dominates what's in their heart. So what's in their heart never gets produced. And basically what it is be like an individual. Has the word in them. They know what's true. They know what's right. But they're walking around talking about their worries. They're walking around talking about this problem. They're walking around talking about, they're never speaking but what's on the inside of them. They're never talking about the victory they have. They're always talking about what's going on around them. What happens is they never produce fruit. In other words, what's on the inside of them never gets to show up on the outside. Folks, we want that, don't we? We want what's on the inside to get on the outside. That's where we want to go. Well, I want to look at tonight, because looking at Jesus' ministry, Jesus had a powerful healing ministry. And I want to look first at Acts 10:38, because I want you to understand, so when we're talking about Jesus' ministry, we talked about this before, what Jesus did in Acts 10:38. What we have here is what Peter is making a statement about Jesus, in which I want you to understand this, because when we look at his healing ministry, we have to understand this. This is really a foundation about his healing ministry that Peter said. Here, Jesus talked about it himself, but Peter probably spoke it in a more blunt way than, in some ways, than Jesus, because the way he said it, a little different, I think sometimes with us it's a little easier to understand. And he said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, he was anointed, Jesus Christ was anointed, what, with the Holy Spirit and power. And how did he do it? In other words, Jesus healed on the basis he was anointed by God. So we know this. Jesus' ministry, healing ministry, was not Jesus doing it. It was God working through Jesus the Father. So when you see all this healing, this isn't Jesus. This is God's ministry. This is the Father's ministry to people. This is what God wanted to do to people. And he anointed Jesus to do what he wanted. So Jesus was anointed to heal. Now we know this by this fact. Peter makes this statement to us that sickness, dealing with sickness and disease, healing, he said they were healed all who were oppressed of the devil. All sickness and disease is demonic oppression. That's where it came from. It came from Satan's side. It didn't come from God's side. Healing, God isn't running around healing people he makes sick. He didn't make all these people sick. Well, you know, most people think, well, wow, you know, this person, you know, why'd God do this to this person? He tells us here, if everybody in Jesus' day and in his ministry were healed and Jesus healed them, they were oppressed of the devil, would it be any different today? Is today changed? See, most people believe it has. Things have changed. That things are not the same, you know. Healing's not the same anymore. You know, they had healing back then, but this is not the same. See, the Bible never says that. The Bible never teaches that. But Christianity believes it and talks it. And so you need to become convinced of this fact. Jesus made this statement. He said, I didn't do anything that I didn't see the Father do. And he made this statement. He said, it's the Father in me who does the works. So it's not Jesus. So when people turn around and say, when, you know, Jesus left and the last apostle died, did God quit healing? Jesus got anointed by the Father. The Father anointed him and he was healing people. So it wasn't Jesus per se. And it, just like with us, you know, people say, well, Benny Hinn healed a guy. Well, Benny Hinn literally didn't heal him, but Benny Hinn was the vessel that was used. But it was God working through Benny Hinn to carry out his will for man, to heal people. That's what he wants to do. That's his desire, is to heal people. So we have to see this in concerning Jesus' ministry, because when we look at it, so many people look at it, Jesus is this nice guy on the earth, but he left. And this old gray-haired man sitting on a throne up there, Dad, you know, he's not quite as nice as Jesus. We don't know what he wants. We know what he wants. Understand this. Never once did Jesus, as you go through, you read the Gospels, never once did Jesus ever tell anybody that it was God's will for them to be sick. He ever told anyone that they weren't supposed to be healed. It has never happened. Why didn't he do it? Because the Father never said such a thing. Because he said, I only say what I hear the Father say. So he never said it because of that. See, I've said these things many times, but I'm going to keep saying it because we've heard it millions of times. People telling us other things. And we have been born and raised under religion. And religion tells you anything under the sun. And you're going to have to hear stuff lots and lots of times till you get over to the point that you could not believe anything else. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. I don't even think about it 2 seconds. My daddy don't want me sick. That I don't even... If somebody told me God wanted me sick, I just laugh at him and think what an idiot they are. Poor person, don't know any better. Demon-possessed taught, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I know, they ain't going to convince me. But, you know, it didn't start out that way. But one other thing, there is so much said. Now just think about it. If we take the four Gospels isn't a lot of book. But how much it talks about healing. How much it talks about healing, the healing ministry. And now, so I want you to go over. We're going to look at this. I'm going to go over to Matthew. I'm going to go down through Matthew just to talk just in the area. First, we're going to go through looking at the things it talks about Jesus' ministry just from the standpoint of healing, ministering to multitudes or ministering to a lot of people and dealing in the areas of healing. We're going to go through there and read. I'm going to read all through the ones through Matthew, and I'll read a couple in Mark, and we're going to stop with that because we could go down through the rest of the Mark. We could go down through Luke, and we could go over to John with it. It is said so many times. I want you to understand this. If the Bible says so many things so often, you should be careful how you read it every time. There's more said about Jesus' healing ministry than has been said about salvation in itself, because healing is salvation too. But the church divides it. If you divide being born again, salvation and healing is a different thing, then you're always going to live over to the side where you're going to end up sick. Sickness is going to dominate. It's going to rule because you think it's something other than. And it never has been. In fact, the words in the Bible that are used for salvation are used for healing also. Why? Because it's the same thing. But in Matthew, the 4th chapter, we're going to start in Matthew and Jesus' ministry. It starts off and talks about in Matthew, the fourth chapter. I'm going to read it. Start at verse 23, what it says about Jesus. It says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Now, I want you to see what it says. All kinds of sickness and all kinds. Did he say some kinds of sicknesses he heals? See, this is why you got to read this. See, people read through these things in the Bible and said so many times in the Gospels that people just sort of scan over that stuff real quick like they know what it's saying. Jesus, we found out here, he said he healed all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. What is it? There's not a kind of disease that God don't heal. So nobody has a disease that God won't heal. There is none. There's no disease. There's not one disease. Because he heals all kinds. Jesus healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. He said among the people, it says, then his fame went out through all Syria. They brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics. And he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. So we see here it talks about he had quite a healing ministry, didn't he? And he's going all kinds of diseases. You'll find out about this from a ministry standpoint among people, of individuals. You'll find that just like God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, went about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. There's a difference between Jesus' ministry. Jesus, the Bible tells us, he had the anointing without measure. We need to understand that human beings have with measure. Jesus stood in every ministry office. Plus, Jesus operated under every gift of the Spirit, and he also had a special anointing where he healed all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. You will never find, just like with Benny Hinn, if you followed Benny Hinn's ministry closely, you'll notice about Benny Hinn, there's certain sicknesses and disease that are healed more often in his ministry than there is, and there's other ones aren't healed quite as often. Why? Because he's anointed to minister in a certain area. I've seen this. I've seen guys, it's like Christopher Lam, deaf people and lame people, and it's a huge area that he ministers that, get healed. He's an evangelist and he ministers mostly a lot overseas and stuff like that in Africa, and also he does in Asia and that stuff. He has been some too in the Middle East. But you have with his when he turns around and gives he sends Wanda and I support his ministry and he sends things about the things that predominantly happening with his ministry, and he'll just have a person after person he'll talk about healed blind people seeing. I mean, that's come. He has a lot of people who deaf will get here and lame walking, and that's probably categories are the greatest amount. So, but that's under his anointing. That doesn't mean nobody of anything else ever gets healed under that, but his ministry really reaches into those people with those sickness and disease. And you see with other people. Brother Hagin, his ministry was very successful in the area dealing with cancerous tumors. Brother Hagin would ministering to people that had cancer. Loads of people with cancer, tumors. Tumors would disappear. It was very common. Yet you go to other ministers, they don't have much of that in theirs. They'll have other areas where they're more predominant. Where Jesus was like the whole, when he was in the earth, he was the whole body of Christ. See, this is why, we don't do it. Nobody does it all. See, these people around here, that keep getting over in a thing and try to do it all. We were sort of talking about that. Wears you out because you can't do it all. You were never anointed to do it all. And you have to understand that. Brother Hagin, I learned from him. He said, most Christians are the jack of all trades and the master of none. And he said they never master what they're supposed to. You learn to find out where you're to minister, and you stay there. You don't go out into other things and try to do what you ain't called to do. You don't try to, take care of what ain't your job to take care of. Because why? It'll wear you out. Because when you get into those areas, it's just you. It's not God. Just you. And you're going to be trying to make things happen that you can't make happen. Now, we need to understand this. We're talking here about manifestations of the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about operating by faith. Anybody can operate by faith and believe God and be healed. Any Christian can operate in the areas of faith and be healed of any sickness or any disease. We can do it by faith. I'm talking about manifestations of the Spirit. This is what Jesus is operating in. He's ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But we see this, when we read these things, we see this is the will of God. This was God's will. God looked at people down here, and this was his will. It says in Matthew 9, if you go to the ninth chapter of Matthew, the ninth chapter of Matthew, in verse 35, it says this, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Every sickness, every disease, everyone, what, among the people. So we see here again in his movie, this is Jesus, this is God working through Jesus. So you need to know how your Father operates. You could never have confidence to, Jesus said, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he'll do it for you. You could never have confidence in prayer with the Father God if you thought he wanted you sick at all. If you think that, well, this Jesus is the guy over here that he wants to do all this stuff. But the Father said, if I ask anything in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, I didn't say anything the Father didn't say. So God got Jesus to say that. You can ask anything in his name and I'll do it for you. Daddy said that. That wasn't Jesus just talking nice to us. That was our Father God speaking to us through his Son Jesus Christ to tell us, if you'll come to me in my Son's name, anything you'll ask me for, I'll do it for you. I mean, did it get much better than that? So, that's our Father. And see, many people today don't know God. They don't know him. You know, they talk about Jesus, but they act like Daddy's some kind of creep. You know? He's this guy we don't talk about, hides out on a throne somewhere, and we're not so sure about what he is. Your daddy is, he loves us. And our daddy, when we look at, always look at Jesus' ministry, you're watching the Father God at work. This is God's plan. Jesus wasn't operating in another plan. He was doing his Father's plan. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, in verse 14, starting where it says, "The Pharisees went out and plotted against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." You know, they were much like today. There's so much, you know, this is amazing. We need to understand this is Jesus ministering among the covenant people. The covenant people had a healing covenant. And they're all, and sickness and disease is running rampant. It's just like today. The reason Jesus, when he came and his people were so messed up and his people had all this crazy stuff going on and all this sickness and disease is because they weren't being taught their covenant. That's what's going on today. People are not taught the covenant. Too many churches don't teach the covenant at all. They teach everything good, quit. You know, we're just trying to hang on till Jesus gets back. Get back here, Jesus, and haul us out, or we're all going to end up in hell. You know, we're probably ain't going to make it. They're not teaching. And this is why Jesus really shook things up. When he came back and started teaching the covenant, they got mad. Hey, the church, the leaders that day were mad. He started teaching the covenant. People say, man, he's talking. You read through, remember we were back here saying about he said strange things. They thought he was teaching strange stuff. It's down as strange. Why? Because he never talked anything that wasn't their covenant. Jesus never told them anything that wasn't their covenant. But he come along talking to them their covenant. They didn't know what it was. Because why? They weren't being taught. They didn't know. They were basically taught, you know, the Father God's sitting up there in the throne. He got bolts of lightning. And he's just waiting for you to get out of line to fry you, bud. And they saw that God was somebody to stay away from. Now you look at David. Did David see that God was somebody to stay away from? David saw God was somebody to run to. See, when the covenant's taught, the picture of God's totally different. God's who you run to. You know, David never saw that God was his enemy. He always thought, you know, God was going to help him. And so we see with these people, it's the same. These people are being taught the covenant. Here they go, is healing. See, when Jesus looked at people and he saw them sick, you know, here in Matthew 14 and verse 14 says this, "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." He says he was moved with compassion. What was that, just Jesus' compassion? That's the compassion of God. God didn't like his people sick. God didn't like, Father God looked down there at his covenant people and said, "My God, they shouldn't be sick. They ought to be well." Has God changed? Not the last time I heard. He changes not. God still looks at sickness and disease, and he has compassion about this sickness and disease thing. People live under bondage of sickness and disease. In the 14th chapter, if we go down to verse 34, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And it says, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out to all the surrounding regions and brought to him all who were sick and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. You know, this isn't amazing. Jesus' ministry, people weren't thinking, well, you know, he was a representative of Father God in the earth. That's what he was. He represented Father God in the earth. And when people saw him, they thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to be sick. Let's just let... You know, we got all this craziness that goes on today. But here we see, they saw him, they brought everybody to him, and it says, they just asked, can we just touch the hem of your garment? Can we just do that? That's all we need to do. Now, in Matthew, the 15th chapter, in verse 29, Matthew 15 and 29 says, Jesus departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on a mountain and sat down. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So that the multitudes marveled when they saw the mute speak, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. You know, we're just reading, this is just in Matthew, you know. This isn't, we're going to go over individual healings. We're going to go through individual healings because you can learn about individual healings. As you go through as individuals, things that are said helps us to understand things, how to respond to the healing power of God. But we see here, you know, God's intent. What's God's intent? We don't have any of these things that we find out here. Did God leave something out so we didn't know what was going on? There was people he really wanted sick, but he didn't say anything about it. He's just trying to lead us into believing, you know, that this is the way that he is. See, most of the church world, when they look at this ministry, they don't see this is God's plan and purpose. They think this was God's plan at that time, and that's it. Just close the door on it. And that's it. Well, what good is the Bible? What good is the Bible? Then the Gospels ought to be ripped out of the Bible. We have no need of them. And really, to most of the church world, a lot of the Bible is not any good to them. And especially, the New Testament's ours. I mean, if Jesus said to his disciples, if you see me, you see the Father. That's what he said. Jesus never one time said, you know what, you need to be sick. You need to learn something. You know, I've learned some things the hard way, but it ain't because God planned it. It's just what I did, and I learned the hard way. You know, you don't have to go through the school of hard knocks, you know. I think there's times we did that, didn't we? Oh, okay, in Matthew, the 19th chapter. We're still in Matthew, these things. This is Matthew. In verse 1 of the 19th chapter, it says, now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these things, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. Here we can see, there's people, every place he goes, there's multitudes coming. And what are they coming out to be healed? You need to understand this. If Jesus has, because we start out in the beginning how he went out, we know what he did. He went out and he was teaching and preaching. This you have to understand, what he was teaching and preaching. The Bible tells us, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. How did they know that he was God's will to heal them? He was preaching, teaching, healing. He had to be. You can't have all this healing stuff going on and then telling him, you know, you go out here and preach something else, you know. Faith comes by hearing the word. The word of God's being taught. Jesus is continually telling people God wants them well. And see, it's one of the forefronts of ministry today. The Lord told me when I was a young Christian, He started to teach me about healing. I was listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching on healing, but the Lord would take me over the Bible and show me things, and the Lord dealt with me on things. He said the healing ministry should always be in the forefront of ministry. Healing. That's what I like to do. God loves to heal people. God wants people well. It's into the forefront. It's not to that. It's something second down behind, somewhere else, This is just a side issue. It's never been a side issue with God. It's right out in the front all the time with Jesus. I mean, we're just still reading. We've just been reading Matthew. It's like, people get over there and it just, this is Matthew alone. I mean, says this in Matthew 21 and verse 12. Matthew 21 and verse 12 says, Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who brought and sold in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple and He healed them. Then again, He said, This is a house of prayer. Do you know, our view of prayer, we don't get it what even prayer is. We think prayer is just about always talking and doing stuff. He said, This is a house of prayer. So what does He do? Heals people. The church world has its own little ideas of what it preaches and what prayer is and what this and that is. He said, This is a house of prayer. So what do you do in a house of prayer? Heal people. See, the church world has all kinds of ideas. If they would just stop with their religious beliefs and start reading and just paying attention to what the Scripture says. Paying attention to it. So what did He do? He threw all those guys out of there. He said, This is a house of prayer. So what did the people come? They said, Well, okay, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Yes, we are. We're praying for healing. Let's get this thing on the road. It says people look, how people view things. That's why we gotta break what religion thinks about things. Now there is times that you sit down, you specifically pray about things. But see, we never deal with the things of lots of times of worship and fellowship with God and things. All that's in prayer. It's not. That's all part of prayer. We have prayer as just this one class of little thing that we think you do about asking God about stuff and things, and it's not. You know, you can have from a standpoint of prayer, it's like Dr. Cho said, he said, no matter whether I'm at in the world, if I'm sitting in a meeting, he said, with world leaders or whatever, and he was teaching on the areas of prayer, and he was talking about continued prayer. He says, my heart's always turned toward God. Well, he's not continually praying. No one could go without ceasing in prayer, asking stuff and doing, that's an impossibility. You couldn't do that. The Bible couldn't be talking about prayer as a constant thing where you're just all the time on your knees somewhere. You can't do that. I mean, we'd all starve to death and die. I mean, you couldn't do it. It's an impossibility. So anybody thinks, see, people think along those lines, and I've heard ministers would say, we just don't ever pray enough or whatever. What do they think? I don't ever find in the Bible any place that designates me a certain amount of time that I have to pray. Of what we call prayer. And it don't. You could be prayerful about anything you do. You know, Jesus didn't pray 24 hours a day. We know He did a lot of teaching. He'd take people out in the wilderness and teach them from morning till night. My words, people think that, I'm long in services. Dear God, they'd have hated Jesus' guts for sure. I mean, they'd have never liked Him. He taught them in morning till night and then had to feed the bunch because they were so out there. Said they were so hungry. They hadn't eaten all day. My God, you did that to people today? They'd curse you and throw rocks at you. My God, the best Christians would. It's good preaching. It's Bible. Well, so I guess Jesus was backslidden in those days that He wasn't praying all day. So He was missing it. It's all of our how we religiously think about things. We need to be very careful, and especially getting over in these areas. We've listened too much to what people said and instead of what the Bible says about things. Here's one thing: is about the truth will make you free. It always does. It makes you free. It don't bind you. It'll make you free. That's why a lot of people always have freedom problems because they really don't know the truth. They don't really know it. you know, it's, you know, Brother Hagin used to say too many people are religiously brainwashed. They've been religiously brainwashed. They've been religiously thought in certain areas. Sometimes for people it's hard to break through that. They never come to the place they can just sit down and just read something and take it at its face value and just enjoy it. You know? And one of the reasons I'm going through all these scriptures, because they're in the Word. The more you hear these things and the more you listen to these things, the more you will become convinced. And that's what you have to be. You got to be convinced. You have to be convinced. I was listening to a guy today talking on the radio while I was out running some errands. And this guy was talking about, he said about people having or who are assured and are convinced of what they believe. He said a person who is convinced of what they believe, they're not afraid of what anybody else is going to say. They know what they believe. They know what it's being convinced. And this is where you have to arrive at. See, that's where I found. You arrive. What happens, he said, when a person, and I heard him say this, and I thought, well, it's biblically true. And I don't even think the guy's a Christian I was listening to, but he said, when you become convinced of something, he said, you have this assurance in you, and he said, you have a boldness about you. He said, there's a boldness. And I thought, my God, he's exactly right. That's what happens to you. When a person becomes convinced or assured of something, the next step is always boldness. You'll always have a person who's assured. When you find a person who's not sure, they're not bold. If a person has a boldness problem, it's because they're not assured. They haven't become convinced yet. See, it's becoming convinced of who you are. See, one of the things that I learned through Kenneth Hagin, he would teach on like who you were in Christ, and he had a series, and I used to listen to it. It convinced me of who I was. See, many Christians have never been convinced who they are. They're still an old sinner saved by grace. They're still, you know, their view of it. They don't understand what they've become, so they don't have a confidence or assurance of it. And when the Lord told me, I was only born again about a year or so, and he was dealing with me at that time about the area of healing, but I understand it works in every area. He said the bolder you are to speak about the truth and talk about the truth, he said that more than it helps other people believe. He said they grab a hold of your boldness, of your confidence. This is why many people, if you don't have a confidence, there's nothing many times for people to grab a hold of. You need to understand, that stuff doesn't work just in Christianity. It works in general. How do you think Adolf Hitler got people to follow him like he did? He was sold out on what he believed. This guy was telling today, the reason he was talking about, I was listening to him, because he talked about, there was a report came out about health. And he was saying this. He was saying about how this guy did this thing. He said, over in Europe, they did this huge study of them, and there, I guess, were some United States, you know, people involved in it. And so they had this enormous study that they did over a long period of time about saturated fats, about eating, you know, because they tell you, you know, don't eat butter, milk, you know, whole milk, you don't meats, fat, stay away from it because of heart disease. They've just finished this study and said they cannot find not one thing that says that you're going to have heart disease because of eating saturated fats. But another thing that they did, they took the study and looked at the study that they had done that said it does. And when they did, there's this guy back in the 1950s that got this started off. And when they started looking over his studies and what he did, they found out there's this guy, Willie, was a liar and a cheat. He went along and he fixed his study. And he only did the study to things that would prove his side. And they went through the whole thing and they went through it and found out it has never been true. But now you understand. They said, why did people buy that? They said, number one, how forceful he was in what he believed in things. And this is the way that it is. He got people to listen to him. They didn't question. Nobody questioned. Doctors didn't question. A similar thing, now, in Christianity, you know, people have enough sense to read themselves. They don't need to have somebody tell them everything it says. They need to read for themselves. Is it true? Is this a Bible? Kenneth Hagin, you start to tell us, go read the Bible. Is it true? Does the Bible really say that? Don't take it. That's why I'm using so much scripture in doing this, because of that problem. Too many people are just listening to what somebody says. And not looking to see, did God say it? Did God say that? Well, if I can find out that God said it, now we got a good authority on it. Now, if Ed's saying what God said, that's good. That's good. Now we got something. But if God didn't say it, And that's why, see, this man kept saying something and kept saying, and so people just bought it. And you know what? You know what? Generally, you know what the people like to do? Because they're too lazy to look. It's easier to listen to what somebody else said. You see, another similar thing happened. They did back in the 1950s, the same thing. There was a doctor came along and did a study and said, eggs will clog your arteries and that stuff. Don't eat eggs. Remember, oh, they got the big thing about don't eat eggs, don't eat eggs. Well, nobody ever checked his study. He was taking egg yolks and feeding them to rabbits. He was feeding hundreds of egg yolks a day to a rabbit and all these rabbits, and he was feeding them to them. And the whole point of it is rabbits, their digestive system can't handle that stuff. Rabbits don't eat eggs if you check. I don't find many of them eating. But anyhow, see what he did. But see, he took a study. He did a certain thing, and they said, my God. They said, it's among the rabbits ever lived. But, you know, they did that. But see, everybody buys it. Somebody comes along and says it, everybody buys it. Well, now today, they'll recommend eggs in a diet. Ah, you know, well, they went through all this crazy stuff. But they have all these extremes. But see, it's the same thing over the areas of Christianity. You know, if you know the truth, you got to be bold to stand up and say it. Bold to preach the truth. Bold to say what's true. Once you find out what is true and God said, you got to stand on it. And it will. You're going to help other people. You can help other people if you talk to them in a way that you, well, will God heal you? Well, we're just going to pray and see what God's going to do. Well, don't even bother praying. You just told the person you didn't know if God was going to do anything or not. And what's the point? So we want to get over to, you know, when we're talking in these things and telling people the truth. I want to share with you now here just a couple of them in Mark. I'm going to read two of them in Mark. We find in Mark the first chapter, at the end of the chapter, verse 32, in Mark, the book of Mark, it says, at evening when the sun had set, said they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. That he healed many who were sick of various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. So this is in Mark. I'm going to read one more from Mark, because you could go on down through, and it's not hard to do if you just go down through and read along, and you'll find out where these things were dealing with him, of dealing with crowds of people and that stuff. This is Jesus' ministry. So Jesus is really, now understand, Jesus' ministry, you know, we're talking about a 3.5-year ministry. So you're dealing with a lot of stuff taking place. It's like John said, if it was written all that he did, he said the world couldn't handle the, wouldn't be able to handle all the books. It's amazing. We have such a limited, condensed amount. But you understand this. All this stuff, if you have these things that I'm reading, these are things God, out of everything that took place, he wants you to have. So you got, is the Bible, was it inspired by God, or is this just men put this together, just did this? See, you have to decide that. Most people believe it was just, you know, guys put this thing together and this is what they wrote. And I'm sorry, many even spirit-filled Christians are not convinced. When I look at anything that's written in the Bible, when I look at it, this is what God specifically set aside for me to know. He wants to teach me from this. I don't need a bigger book. I don't need any more information than is here. The Holy Ghost can teach me anything that I need to know by what's here. God gave me enough out of this. And if he did these kinds of things here so much, we're saying this about this healing thing, about, you know, it just seemed like Jesus is in the healing business, isn't he? He's just out there healing people. Now there's one more in Mark I'm going to read from Mark the third chapter. Mark the third chapter in the 7th verse says, but Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him and from Judea. It says, and Jerusalem, and Idiom, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre, Sidon, and a great multitude, when they heard him, heard how many things he was doing, came to him. So in other words, he's doing all kinds of stuff, and they're hearing about it. Now, you understand this, where he's talking about these places. You didn't go out here and get in your car and drive down here to a place, you know, to an hour away to a meeting. These people travel for days and days and days on end. These people, they're coming from all over the place these people are coming from. They're coming from other countries. They hear about him. These people are coming in. These are Gentiles and stuff, hearing about what he does. Hey, there's a guy down here healing people. Let's get to the meeting. They're going down there. See, when people today talk about the inconvenience to go somewhere, boy, they don't get it at all. Today, we're inconvenienced. If it takes me an hour to drive somewhere, it's an inconvenience. See, there's lots of people need things. Lots of Christians will never get things because everything's an inconvenience for them. They won't set aside what seems hard to do. You know, loads of these people did what was hard to do. But you know what? They wanted healed bad enough. I'm convinced that many Christians, if you can't get rid of their doctors, you never get them healed. Because, really, it's just so easy to go to the doctor and not have to bother with all this other stuff. It's just so easy. It's just so easy. And there is, whether we realize it or not, there is a sense of laziness in this. Because, you know, wow, it takes too much to go do that. Oh, man, you don't know how busy I am. Well, are you so busy you're going to stay sick? Is that what we're going to do? You're just so busy. Yeah, it's worth staying sick to stay busy. You don't realize what I have to go through. You don't know. I don't have the money to do that. It's amazing. Everybody has the money to do what they want to do. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've seen it many times. People tell me they don't have money. And I watched them spend more money than they would have otherwise to go do something else. I have watched thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times I've seen it. Telling me what they can't do. See, we need to decide on these things. Folks, you make decisions on things. And this is what people are coming all over the place. They want healed. I can imagine it wasn't very easy for a lame person to be taken days and days on the road. Not in an automobile. Oh, wow. It says, so he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. Everybody's trying to get to him. What are they trying to do? Well, we find out it's touching him. They want to get down there and touch him. So it says, for he healed many so that as many as had afflictions pressed against him to touch him. The unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he sternly warned them that they should not make him known. And so, but we look at this thing as what his healing ministry, people wanted healed. I always thought it was interesting because back in the 1980s and into the early 90s, they had a lot more of these bigger meetings and stuff would go on, just like with Kenneth Hagin had camp meetings and stuff that he had. I mean, people would come. It's one of the reasons you saw so many things take place is because, I mean, people would come from all over the United States and even other nations and stuff would come to those meetings to be healed. As places would pack out. And you know what I saw over time? See, as people would turn around and they got over the things of all the stuff on TV, and I'm just going to sit down and I'm just going to watch on TV and I'm just going to do and all that kind of stuff. There's one thing is, you're never going to have off of television what it is to be in a meeting. There is a difference concerning the anointing. You're never going to have that. It is one thing. And I know this was simple. I mean, I listen to teaching and that stuff or meetings I wasn't able to attend, I wasn't able to go to. But if I can attend a meeting, I'm going to. If I can attend something, there's anointing there, you're going to, because there's things that happen under the anointing. And I want to tell you this, if you're not present, most likely it ain't going to happen to you, per se. And we need to understand, that's just the way it is. See, we want to turn the anointing of God into this technical thing like we have, like, well, you just pick, you know, like I can pick my phone up and just do about anything in the world, and you know, this thing does 1,000 times more things than I'll ever do with it. And we're just going to have it. It doesn't work that way. God has a system on a way it works, and it works through people. It don't work through gadgets. And we want to have everything done just, you know, out of convenience, but we need to understand there's a system in operation. God has a system of laying on hands, a system of touch. That's going to work. You can, if you want to get away from that or go do something else, well, I'm sorry. And it's about ministry, and it's the way God operates. We're trying to change that in our society today. And haven't you seen less of the move of God through it? It don't work like these guys are telling us on TV. It don't. You got to get back to the Bible. You know, you're not going to have the same thing. And we need to know. That's why people back in the 80s and the 90s in those meetings, I mean, it was amazing the move of God in some of those meetings. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I was in meetings back in those times, period. The power of God would fall in some of those meetings. And I mean, you'd have, 15, 20,000 people, power of God. I've seen sometimes 3,000 or 4,000 people, one shot, just fall over under the power, just slam down. I mean, just bang, hit the dirt. I watched one guy stand there and minister. He's ministering away. He's in a big, huge, he's in a huge arena. He waves his hand over one section of the crowd up there. About 4,000 or 5,000 people just fall down. Or he went like this, or a whole section of people fall down under the power, knock them out. They had a choir, a group behind him singing. He just turned around, well, you guys might as well go too. Went like this, and they were all their instruments and everything. Everything flew and went boom down. Do you know, today we don't want that. We want this nice little clean stuff. We want this nice, we don't want to look at, I don't want to be knocked down on the ground. I don't think I'm weird. If God wants to knock me down, go ahead, God. I don't care where it's at. He wants to do it in Times Square. Do it in Times Square. I don't care. But see, do you want God? And see, today there's not that, there's this, they sort of tried to what, I guess to man's ideas, clean up. try to make it presentable to people, to fit the palate of people today in our beliefs, and that isn't the way it works. I mean, I saw already with the power of God, we were at Kenneth Hagin's camp meeting, probably about 12 to 15,000 people were in the place. Power of God fell on, and everybody started dancing in the spirit. I'm not talking about choreographed dancing, the people doing the Christian little Christian hop there, doing just a little jumping. I'm not talking about all of a sudden, and you know it's God. I mean, just everybody in the place, just in an instant, starts, just breaks loose like an explosion. Everybody just started going crazy, dancing, shouting, praising God, just going nuts. Well, it's just like somebody flipped a light switch. I'm sure it's just like somebody flipped the light switch. Nobody, the guy speaker didn't do anything about it. I mean, they're all of a sudden, bang, the power of God hit, and everybody goes bananas. It's like, whoa, where did that one come from? I saw one night Kenneth Hagin stood up. He was talking about dancing in the spirit. He said, "Is there anybody out here you've never danced in the spirit?" And he didn't preach about it. He didn't do the charismatic hop. He's talking about somebody ever didn't have to dance in the spirit. And he said, "If there's anybody here," he says, "if there's someone here," he said, "you never danced in the spirit," he said, "stand up." And he said, this one guy quick jumped up. He said, "Come up here." And he walked up, and the young man walked up in front. He said, "What I'm going to do to you, when I point my finger on you, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and you're going to dance in the spirit." So Kenneth Hagin pointed at him, and he just started dancing in the spirit. Holy Ghost came on the guy. The guy's up there, and people are just doing laughing and praising God, with him. And he's up there about a minute doing it. And man, all of a sudden, the power of God hit the whole crowd. It just like dropped on, and everybody, just the whole place, just blew up. All just went nuts. But I'd see it, power of God. I watched it in meetings, that stuff, just like dominoes. I watched Brother Hagin walk down ministering, and when he'd walk up through and he was out ministering, he went out in the auditorium and he'd go out and minister, and he'd walk up the aisles, The people in rows would fall like dominoes out through the sides of the aisles. As he walked past, they'd just all just, everybody would just fall, going back down through, just like dominoes. This was crazy. And they all just go, and he would be just walking up through, paying no attention to what's going on. And just, everybody's going, come on, come on. And you can always tell, you're standing there in a row, and he's going to get here. We know what's going to happen. Everybody's gone. But the whole thing of it is, you don't see none of this stuff tough. People talk about these things, and one of the reasons is because, see, people came for these things. People came for a move of God. They didn't come for nice little things. They wanted God to show up. People traveled. People would come, stay in tents and anything else to come to go to those meetings. People would do anything they could to get to those meetings. People would turn around and save everything all year just trying to get money. They would come. People would come to those meetings with hardly a nickel in their pocket just to get to those meetings. They were hungering and thirsting, and God never disappointed. God blew up in those meetings for them. And we don't have that today. We don't have people that hunger and thirst for it. I'm hungry for it. I spend my money to go. I spend my money to get there. I spend money. And I think sometimes, I ain't got the money to go. I'm going. It don't look like I got money, but I'm going. Because if I don't, just one thing, if I don't put my money out the right thing, I ain't going to get done anyhow. So. But you hunger for it. And that's what we have to learn to do. We have to learn to hunger. Hunger for these things. Jesus, I can imagine the people in that day. They hadn't seen a healing ministry. They hadn't seen it. They hadn't been taught it. You know what it must have been for them to see that come on the scene. You know, they couldn't run down the doctor. And if there were any kind of physicians, there was very limited amount, and a lot of things that he did weren't good anyhow. But the whole thing was, people didn't have nothing. You're living in a society where 90% of the people are poor. And they're in there, and man, there's a doctor in the house, and you're just going to go after it to get it. I want to be well. It's like with me, I don't know. I've always been driven that I want to be well. Even as a sinner, I absolutely hated and deplored sickness. There's too many Americans, and even among the Christians, who don't mind being sick. They don't mind sickness at all. They don't mind. I had a woman come and ask me to pray for her who had multiple sclerosis. Now, she could walk with a cane. And she would come up to me and she said, I want you to pray, because what she was on, what do you call it, that she was working when she got, you know, and so... No, she had, you know, she didn't have to work. They put her on, where she was, you know, paid, you know, she was, excuse me?
Legal boxes?
They put you on once you're, you know, sick, then they put you on that. You just, as long as you're sick, you're always on that. You know, you get government, you know, pays for you being off. And anyhow, she was on this thing. And she came up to me and she said, I want you to pray for me. She said that I don't have to walk with a cane and stuff anymore. But I don't want to get completely healed or I have to go back to work. And I looked at her and said, I will not touch you. I will not do it. I said, you need to repent for your evil. I said, the thing that you want to do, I said, did you ever listen to yourself what you want? I said, my God. I mean, I was in a spirit-filled church. Minister this one, she's come up through there, you know. But I told her, I said, I ain't praying for you. I said, you know, go sit down. Dear God. I don't want to go to work. You know, people do. I mean, we're in a society today where you can get a lot of attention by being sick. And if you don't, people ain't paying enough attention to you, you know, get sick so they will. And see, it is, it's demonic sickness going on around here. So many people sick. And I mean, I hate sickness. To me, it's the worst thing in the world is to be sick. And when I look at people that are, I hate to see people sick. I can imagine people who have had prolonged illnesses for huge amounts of time. You know, I mean, real bad stuff. It just goes on and on and on and on. And you think, man, what people go through. Like, man, that's horrible. That's awful. And I can imagine what the people in that time, man, Jesus came on the scene, talking about to these, talking to them, telling about how God loved them, God wanted them well. My God, you need to understand that the Pharisees taught those people. They were taught by the Pharisees. They were poor and they were out there, and you know they were having the problems they are because God was mad at them. You know that's why they are. You guys are just all messed up out there. That's why the Pharisees didn't like Jesus hanging around with anybody else, because he went out there and hung around with those other people. What's he out here doing with these scumbags? What's he doing out there with them? They ain't nice like we are. And those people were taught that. That's what they sought. They were never good enough. And he had somebody come along and tell them God loved them. And God wanted to heal them. And God healed them. Hallelujah. And praise God. I just feel so bad. People sit in churches all over America today. Sit in churches. God wants you sick. God has a reason for it. God has that. They hear the same things. It might be from a different position. It's preached, but number one, it's the same stupid message. And you look at people and you say, my God, they sit there sick, you know, die prematurely. Their children die. And, you know, I mean, how could you, like, go up to Hershey Medical Center and go over to the children's thing where they have all these cancer kids and think, if God told me he was involved in any of that, I'd never serve him another second. I wouldn't serve anybody so evil. I'd never serve anybody so evil. My God, don't do that. I'd tell you what, I'd almost want to punch a guy in the mouth if he said it. I'd want to knock him out. Say, my God, you evil idiot, you. Look at them kids with cancer. This is God working something out in them kids. Gee, I wish he'd explain it. Nobody knows what it is. God's a pretty lousy teacher. I never met anybody who told them that God had done something like that to them that ever figured out what it was that God was trying to teach them. When you end up dead, what was the lesson? Was the lesson to go get a gun and blow your brains out quick so you didn't have to suffer so much? What was the lesson? It's like, good God. So, you know, don't ever think in that way about God. Hallelujah. To me, I'll tell you, for years, I'd sit down and read through the things in the scriptures of Jesus healing. I'd read through them and read through them and read through them. Just convinced. I'd just convince myself and read through them and read through them. I just, you know, the Bible says this so much, it has to be true. God's true and every man's a liar. You just keep reading through it and reading through it and reading through it. This is my God. My God's good. My God's good. My God ain't making people sick. My God. And just, see, there was my God in Jesus. That was my God. That was my daddy doing all that good stuff. That was my father. And that's, he ain't changed. Praise God. Father, we just want to thank you because you truly are good and your mercy endures forever. And I thank you, Father God. Father, you said if we hungered and thirst for righteousness, we'd be filled. And Father, we're hungry. Father God, you have not changed one iota. You're the same healer just like you were then. And Lord God, down through history, you have healed and you've demonstrated yourself. And I want to thank you, Lord God. You will reveal your glory in these days and times. Hallelujah. You will manifest yourself through the church. Hallelujah. Just as you did through Jesus when he walked in the earth. And Father, signs and wonders will take place through your people where Jesus Christ will be magnified and glorified and man will know that there is a God in heaven. We thank you for all that you're going to accomplish and do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.